6. Luke 23, at verse 26, we're picking up the story of our Savior's suffering a little after he enters into the city of Jerusalem. But why is he going there? He's going there to warn women who are weeping for the wrong person. And we have a warning of God's mercy for us as Jesus Christ, in his final footsteps to the cross, announces the good news of the gospel. But we had a memory verse from Matthew 21. We like to say that together. It's the good news of Palm Sunday, Matthew 21, at verse 9. Let's say that together with one heart and voice. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the word of the Lord, and let's receive it with believing hearts. This is the word of God. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they began to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" You may be seated. So far, the reading of the word of the Lord, and may add his blessing to it. Please keep the Bible open and handy. We're going to look up a couple of other passages this morning on Don't Cry for Me. Your congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters, and Lord, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Just ask Will Smith about that and how Denzel Washington was a friend for him. I think of that when it comes also to, it's an old story. I thought about it a long time, but I read a story about Mel Gibson. You remember Braveheart, that Mel Gibson? And he was down in the dumps, probably at his lowest moment. And Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., remember him too? He came to his aid. Why? Because when he was at his lowest moment, Robert Downey, because he was just lost in drug and alcohol addiction, Mel Gibson came and paid him a visit and just befriended him because he was a friend he saw that was in need. And then when Mel Gibson spouted off at the mouth, and everyone deserted him, pretty much. Robert Downey Jr. showed up because there was a friend in need, so he was a friend indeed. My brothers and sisters, it's hard to tell who your real friends are. If you're popular, if you're really good-looking, if you got a lot of money, you may have a lot of friends, but you don't know if they're using you or not, really. But when you're at your lowest moments, then you kind of figure Who can really be trusted? Who can rely? Who really you can rely on? Who can really show up when there's really nothing to gain? Those are true friends. And we see these women surrounding Jesus Christ as he's taking his final footsteps to the cross. But it turns out that Jesus Christ is a friend indeed for them and for you, because we are all, he says, friends in need. I preach you the word of the Lord as it comes to us here on Palm Sunday, as Jesus Christ rides into the city of Jerusalem. We read about that in Luke chapter 19. He weeps over that city, the city he laments over. But then he's saying a little later here, don't cry for me, weep for yourself. And what does that mean? Why does that matter so much? What does that practically look like in your life and mine? Well, Jesus urges us to weep for ourselves. And we first of all want to take a look at weeping this morning as we pick it up here in verse 27. There followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. I take that not as true followers of Jesus Christ. Many of the women, many of the followers of Jesus came from Galilee. These are daughters of Jerusalem. These were probably professional mourners who came out. And why were they weeping? Why were they crying? Well, they were sad. They were sad about the injustice that Jesus Christ was suffering. And you would think Jesus Christ would thank them for someone who would just sympathize with him in these lowest moments of his life. They saw that he would be murdered, that he would be crucified and tortured in such a cruel and grotesque way. You would think that Jesus Christ would be grateful for their sympathetic support. But that's not what Jesus Christ says to them. And these women are weeping over the sad condition. You'd think that Jesus Christ would be relieved for him being, for them being sad, for those crying tears. You would think they would be friends of Jesus Christ in that way. But our Lord Jesus Christ says to these great multitudes, these women who are mourning, Jesus turns to them and he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." The women are sad about the injustice Jesus Christ suffers, but they're really not getting the big picture. And they're ultimately weeping, really, for the wrong person. They are weeping for Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ says, "I don't need your tears. I don't want your tears." Not those kinds of tears. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourself. And congregation, we're reminded of that in our day and age where the world wants us to weep worldly tears. The Apostle Paul will talk about that in a moment in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. There's a worldly grief. There's a bad grief. And the world out there, even the false church, wants you to cry the wrong tears. But Jesus Christ and his love doesn't want you to do that. The women are weeping for the wrong person. They need to be weeping for themselves. And the world out there, and you see that, for instance, in Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, that movie depicting the torture and the suffering of Jesus Christ, the physical torture and suffering. And what does that do? It really can bring you to tears, right? But Jesus Christ says, even in that movie, if you've watched it or will ever watch it, don't cry for me. Weep for yourself. There are paintings and pictures and icons and statues in the Roman Catholic Church that wants you to weep. But Jesus Christ says, don't be manipulated. Do not be manipulated. And cry tears for me. Weep for yourself. I don't need your tears. I don't need them in my dying. I certainly don't need them now in my life that I'm risen from the dead and Lord of all. Congregation, Jesus Christ says you need to be weeping for yourself. Why? Because of a stern warning he gives here. It's a stern warning. These women are mourning and lamenting. He turns them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." And Jesus Christ is predicting here that awful days are coming, and that's why he wants to bring them to tears. He says, "I'll give you something to cry about." And Lord willing, by his grace, it will be sincere tears of repentance. I don't need your tears of sadness, but I do want your tears of repentance. Why? Because awful days are coming when what will happen? Behold, pay attention. The days are coming. Jesus is seeking, even in his final footsteps to the cross of Calvary, to shake us up, to wake us up. There are days coming when they will say, "Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed." And then they will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." In congregation, Jesus Christ is predicting here the fall of the city of peace, the fall of Jerusalem, that the Roman Emperor Titus is going to come in AD 70. It's about 40 years from now, and he's going to completely destroy the walls of Jerusalem. He's going to raise that city of where God promised to have his presence. And into that city, Jesus Christ rides on a donkey, and he comes in the name of the Lord. And the crowd is crying on Palm Sunday, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna means Lord, save. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we can truly bless this Lord who comes by crying out, "Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, save my soul, redeem my life, because awful days are coming." And he's certainly predicting and prophesying the fall of Jerusalem. And these were awful days, dear friends. These are tragic days. In the words of Josephus, the Jewish historian, who chronicled and kept a record of these times, what was happening when Jerusalem fell, you would have women, mothers. Because of the drastic conditions, there was no food to eat. And it's gross, I understand, but this is what Jesus Christ is prophesying. He says, "I'm a friend in your need because I am a friend indeed. I care more about you right now than I care about myself going to the cross." That days are coming when you'll be lucky if you're not a mom. You'll be blessed that you were infertile. Because in the words of Josephus, the moms, when Jerusalem was under siege, didn't have anything to eat, and they boiled their own babies to eat. And then hoodlums would come in and thieves, and they would take what was remaining of their children and whatever else was left over in order to survive. These were awful days, days of great tragedy. And so Jesus Christ says, don't mourn for yourself. Mourn for yourself. Don't mourn for me. Mourn the fact that you are under condemnation, that you are under a curse. I'm going to the cross to be cursed and condemned, but weep for yourself. Don't cry for me. And Jesus Christ is quoting here from Hosea. He's quoting here from Hosea chapter 10, verse 8. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 10. You'll find that on page 1250 in the Pew Bible. 1250, Hosea, chapter 10 at verse 8. And let's just read verses 1 and 2 of Hosea chapter 10. First of all, Hosea 10, page 1249. We read in Hosea 10 at verse 1, "Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars." In other words, God blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. They had prosperity. They had all kinds of money. They had all kinds of prosperity. And what did they do? They built more altars. They built more altars to God, monuments. And in and of itself, that was okay. So what's the problem? Well, their heart is false. That's the problem. Their heart is divided. Their heart really, their true, all their heart was not in the monuments raised to God in his praise and the altars for sacrifices. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their pillars. And now at verse 8, "The high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. Thorn and thistle shall grow up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us." Congregation, this happens three times in the Bible. It's prophesied for the first time in Hosea. Jesus Christ brings it up as he's almost hanging on a cross, and it's going to come up again. What? Mountains, cover us. It's going to come up again in Revelation chapter 6. We're almost there in our series at night in Revelation chapter 6. Stay tuned for that. But congregation, this happens three times because it's a perennial problem. It happens in every generation. What? We have all of these blessings from God, and we have all of these goodies from God, and we build churches, we build monuments, they even have the name of God on them, but our heart is not in it. Our heart for God is ultimately not in it, and our hearts are divided. Some loyalty to God, other loyalty to the idols and false gods. And that's why Jesus Christ is prophesying, why Hosea 10 now? Why at this moment? It's for a very good reason. Because the daughters of Jerusalem don't have their heart in it. Their heart is not in these tears. They're weeping for the wrong person. They're not weeping for themselves and their own sin. Their rebellion against God. And dear friends, just as Israel had a death wish then, in 722 BC, the Assyrian army just ransacked and ruined the city of Jerusalem. And they had a death wish. Put us out of our misery, and they didn't. Just as we see together in the coming of the Roman emperor to raise and ruin the city of Jerusalem in AD 70, many were crying out, let the mountains fall on us, put us out of our misery. And it never happened. And then on the last day, the day of great days, the day of judgment, when Jesus Christ comes on the white horse of victory, many will be crying out, may the mountains cover us, just obliterate us, put us out of our misery. And many will have a death wish, and it will not be answered. God will not answer that prayer. Because we didn't have our hearts breaking and our tears shedding, tears of repentance and embracing Him as Jesus, our Savior and King, who has come in the name of the Lord. God will not answer that prayer. Obliterate me. Put me out of my misery, because it was too late. Will it be too late for you? Will it be too late for me? Is this what you choose? Are you choosing this? Am I? Jesus is a friend indeed, because we are friends in need. He loves us this much. He doesn't care about himself. I'll go to the cross and be cursed and condemned. Because I'm the green tree. I'm the green wood. Fall on us and say to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Verse 31. And Jesus Christ says, I'm the green tree. Jesus is the fountain. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the good shepherd. Have you ever thought of Jesus as your green tree? That's what Jesus Christ wants you to name him today is on this Palm Sunday. Jesus, you are my green tree. Picture it. Jesus Christ says, look, I'm the one green tree. Remember Hosea 10, 1. I'm the only one in a forest of dry timber. No one else is producing the fruit of faith, obedience to the Lord, as their whole heart given to God. I'm the only one. Throw me in the fire. And he does that in mercy for you and for me. I'm the green tree, and my fruitful life will be given to the death so that your fruitless, dried out life maybe rescued. Live by that death, Jesus Christ says. And Jesus is this green tree. And what does that mean? Klaus Schilder is one of my favorite books of the time of the Passion of the Christ when I preach on these themes. Klaus Schilder wrote a whole trilogy, and he has a message on this passage. And he says, you know what's actually happening here? What's happening here is that Satan is tempting Jesus. Satan wants to get Jesus Christ, you know, throw Jesus off his game, off of his mission to go to the cross. And how is he doing it? Satan is tempting these women to feel sorry for them. You know how that works. I do too. When people are crying, I start crying. And then sometimes I don't do what I should be doing, and nor do you. We become manipulated, perhaps, or coerced to do something we shouldn't do or not do what we should do. And Jesus Christ says, I will not weep. I will not be tempted by these tears. I will continue to give my whole heart to God because you haven't and don't. Satan is tempting Jesus Christ. Samson, the strong savior in the book of Judges. Oh, he let a woman manipulate him, didn't he? Delilah begged Samson, teared up. And Samson told a secret. Jesus will not allow himself to be thrown off the course of the cross by these weeping women. I don't want your lamentation. I want you to believe in me. And there he goes to the cross in obedience to the Father. Why? To win you, his true bride. Because he doesn't care about himself. All he cares about is loving you to life. If God did not spare the innocent, if God did not spare his innocent son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mountains of wrath falling on him on Good Friday, why would he then, or why should he, spare the guilty? And spare the guilty. Brothers and sisters, who are the guilty? They are you and me. Think about sin that we should weep over. Jesus Christ says, weep over your sin. Weep tears of repentance. And our Lord Jesus Christ was not spared. So why would God be sparing the guilty? It would be perfect justice for God to say, it's too late. I've given you the opportunity on this Pentecost Sunday to repent of your sins, to turn from your sins, and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It would be perfectly just for God to send us to what? To be wanting to be put out of our misery, but cover us, let the mountains fall on us. But God said, no, I'm not going to annihilate. I'm not going to extinguish your life. Your life will go on in great misery for all eternity. What great love is this, that Jesus, by way of application, dear friends, says, weep for your crimes and weep for your children. Do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see the love of God redeeming you from the wrath of God. See the severe mercy of Jesus Christ, for instance. I read a story earlier this week about a doctor in the time of World War II, a guy by the name of Dr. Peter Bam, 1943, the Russians were invading, and Germany was, the German troops, Nazis, Hitler's Nazi regime and soldiers were busy fighting in Crimea. And the Russian Red Army was just overthrowing the German soldiers. So some of these German soldiers would shoot themselves because if you were wounded in battle, some of them would be taken off into safety and not have to go back to war. And so they would shoot themselves. But the German captains were catching on to this because they saw gunpowder and their wounds. So if they saw gunpowder, they knew it was a self-inflicted wound, and then they went and killed those soldiers. In 1943, Dr. Baum, or Bam, B-A-M-M, was busy inspecting the self-inflicted wound of an 18-year-old soldier. And what that doctor did, he saw the gunpowder, he knew it was a self-inflicted wound, but out of mercy, he took his scalpel and he widened the wound to cover up the evidence of a self-inflicted wound to save that young soldier's life. My dear friends, Jesus loves you. "This I know, for the Bible tells me so." It sounds so severe. It is a hard message. But hard messages make for soft hearts. Jesus is just widening the wound because he loves you. To feel the pain of sin, your sins. Weep for your sins. Weep tears of repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. I'll read it. "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you." There's a good grief and there's a bad grief. A bad grief is just feeling sorry for our sins and the consequences of our sin. A godly grief is being sorry for our sins, that we have offended God who made us in his image to live for him, to give our whole hearts to him. And what have we done? Just sins of using God. You like to be used? I don't. Ever had someone use you? They're not friends. You feel awful. You feel abused. You feel... you feel so inhuman and dehumanized. Dear friends, that's how we treat God so often, don't we? We use him for his blessings. And yet we ignore him and we don't pray as we ought. We don't evangelize as we ought. Our sins don't even bring us to tears anymore. Live by the death of Jesus Christ. Confess your crimes to him and cry out on this Palm Sunday, "Hosanna, Lord Jesus, save me. I trust that the mountain of God's wrath fell on you so that I wouldn't be crushed or condemned on Judgment Day." And Jesus Christ will save to the uttermost. Weep for yourself, weep for your children. Congregation, do we make excuses for our own sins, our own faults, and our own failures, for our pride, our bitterness, our fighting and our attacking one another, for our prayerlessness? Are we making excuses for ourselves? Are we making our excuses for our own children? Weep for your children. Brothers and sisters, as parents, the call of Jesus Christ, our King, on Palm Sunday is to weep for our children. Do you weep for them? Tears of repentance for your sins. Do I pray those prayers and do I weep for our sins against our children? Congregation, our job is not to bring heaven on earth for our children. Our job as parents is to warn them. To once in a while open the wound because we love them. We don't care about ourselves. And I can be manipulated. We can be manipulated by our kids, can't we? To stay silent when we really need to speak about judgment, about hell, about eternal destinies. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ encourages us to warn out of love, to weep for our children, and to weep, congregation, in such a way that we give our children the very best gift we can ever, ever give them. We give them the example of a living faith in the risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. A living faith by example that shouts with the crowd at Palm Sunday, "Hosanna! The Lord Jesus Christ has come to bring me out of hell into heaven." And just to give Jesus Christ everything, right? They threw the robes out, you know, here, clothes, anything. Jesus Christ, go ahead and walk over them. "I give you everything I have." That's the example our Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to provide for our children. Because my brothers and sisters, there's a day coming. I have to say this. It's awful to think about. But Jesus wakes us up and shakes us up because there's going to be a day when mothers, it would be better on the day of judgment for you not to have a child. Because there are going to be mothers looking for their children and they won't find them. And there are going to be sons and daughters looking for their mothers and they will not find them. But the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we're going to see, you see in the scene at Calvary, that at the cross, Jesus Christ unites a mother and a son. Mary, here's your son, John. John, here's your mother, Mary. And dear friends, when we are giving that gift of repentance and weeping over our sins to our children, Jesus promises the day of judgment will be a day of joy. When children are reunited with their parents, and a mother will find her son or daughter, and a son or daughter will find their mother at the feet of Jesus. Is Jesus your friend? He wants to be. You are friends in need, and so am I. Jesus Christ is the friend indeed. Blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord. Jesus says, don't cry for me. Weep for yourself. And if you do, weeping will turn to endless rejoicing. Amen. Let's turn in the forms in the prayers book to page 37. Page 37. As we prepare to come on Good Friday to the table of the Lord. Form number one, page 37. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us give full attention to the words of the institution of the Holy